Meeting's in order. And I'd ask Tony Alavado to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Stand up, there's flag, there we are. Stand. Flag, hand it over your chest, veterans can salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. What's the third? It's a roll call.
Okay, Tony Alavado.
Sure, I'm here.
It's the music up here. Colette Chen Hickson.
I'm here.
Meredith Chilling.
Here.
Scott is always absent.
It's been here for years.
Right.
Is it?
He's an attorney.
Oh, I've never even heard of that.
See you again.
Been over a year.
Over a year.
It's a member of this committee, right?
Right, yeah. Jane Genoway is absent. Ken Hickman is absent.
Yeah.
Sherry Horn is absent. Jim Levy.
I'm here.
Victor Mendez.
Here.
John Pointer.
Here.
Tony Rodella. Dave Tetzlaff.
Here.
And we have a new person coming on.
I'm here, but I'm actually old, so.
We have a quorum, right?
We do.
That's new, right? But we have two new members, and we could get, or at least two guests, maybe checking out membership. So, we have you introduce yourself first.
Okay, I'm Mary Ann Klinger. I'm new to the Senior Citizens Advisory Commission. Last was my first meeting, so it was kind of fun. I'm here representing District 1. Includes Seal Beach, where I live, and Leisure World. I'm actually kind of interested in this. My past, I spent 20 years as a newspaper reporter and editor and covered lots of this good stuff up in the Bay Area. So I'm very much interested in seeing what we do, how we do it, and helping the seniors in Leisure World. I was on their security team for a long time, 10 years. And I served in Seal Beach and Sunny Beach.
Thank you, Andrew. I believe it's Colette.
Yes, hi, I'm Colette. I'm here representing Buena Park. I'm a senior commissioner with the city, and this is really all new to me also, but I'm here to learn, so.
Right.
I'm glad I'm here, thank you.
We have anyone from the public. Unless we want to count Mary Ann or Colette, but so I don't think there'll be any public comment. But before we get any further in the agenda, since I was just looking around, there's one, two, three people that are relatively new victors. I think this is your second meeting. So I'll just give you a little background. This committee is, like the other two, are undergoing potentially a name change. And we're not sure what that is going to entail yet as a result of the bylaws, nor what our objectives, which are identified in the agenda for you on page two, goals and objectives. To give you an idea of what the committee's intent is, this committee for years was the Ledge Committee. There are still a number of individuals on this committee that are also members of what we call the California Senior Legislature. So this committee then evolved with the introduction of the Master Plan for Aging into the Senior Citizen Engagement Committee. I think I can speak with relative certainty that that name is going to change. Okay, and maybe even the focus, we'll see. So bear with us as we go through this transition. With that, Today's agenda is going to focus on a presentation on the Office on Aging update on technology. This committee worked on a project to distribute iPads to senior citizens in the community. Tony and Dave were members of that, as well as
Meredith
as well. Thank you. So, and I think we look at that as quite successful in terms of the distribution. And I think there was a recent report, that shared information in terms of the distribution and then also what the iPads were being used for. So I'm hoping that we might hear a little bit more about that today from Jeanette as well. And give us a little more information. But I think we've also decided that our role with the iPad has concluded. I think we're trying to determine whether there is any future role for this committee in the technology arena. And if not, then I think that's why I have under new business, elder financial abuse. Is that an agenda item that we want to pursue in the future? Or is there something else? Or do we just continue with presentations that interest us and wait for the bylaws to be approved and us to determine so what will be our new focus? So with that, I think that gives you both the three of you a pretty good understanding of what we've done, what we're trying to do, and why we're here today. So,
can I jump in for a second?
Absolutely.
Okay. I just want to make sure that both Marianne and Victor understand. You've received a copy of the bylaws, correct?
I think so. I can't recall.
Okay, I'll send them to you. But for the purpose of being a part of the SCAC General Council, you, per the bylaws, will attend the SCAC General meeting monthly, and then you have an option to serve on one of three committees, this being one of them. So if you want to go to all three and decide which one interests you most, just let us know, let me know, so we can add you to the proper schedule for agendas. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I believe we were at the point in the agenda where we have a presentation from the Office on Aging on an update on the technology program.
Yeah, I have.
Presentation will be from Jeanette.
I also want to see it. Jeanette,
is it Rivilla?
Yeah,
Rivilla.
Okay. Yeah.
So we kind of put this together ourselves. It's been about 12 years, and who would have thought 12 years later after retirement I'd be putting a PowerPoint
presentation.
Wow. And what were you able to do?
Wow.
No. What you see on the screen is nothing what I initially proposed and sent to Jeanette. She has enhanced it tremendously. So what we decided to do is Jeanette's going to talk about the distribution of the iPad. But since we have unfamiliar faces, new members on the committee, new members on staff, I would first just kind of highlight the history and where we stand as the subcommittee and what we could look to for the future in regards to the digital divide / digital multiplier. I a little humor, but we're trying to handle the digital divide, but I think we're getting to the point where it becomes the digital multiplier. So
you heard it today for the first time.
We're making progress. And so slide number one. This was responsibility of the subcommittee was assigned by the board, the directors, and the executive board.
Next slide, please.
And we were established sometime around April of 2021 to review and recommend solutions for the digital divide, which was occurring because of COVID-19 and everyone being isolated, not being able to get out. So first thoughts is we started to take a look at what was happening. And there was two programs that caught our attention. One was CHAT, C-H-A-T, and that stands for Connections, Health, Aging, and Technology. And that was, I believe, was it a federal grant divided by state or a state grant?
This is from the state, CDA.
From the state, yeah. Okay. CHAT program was a state program, and it was purchasing 4,000 iPads for the full state. And Orange County received approximately 300 of those. The other area that caught our attention was the Emergency Broadband Benefit Program. And that was a program that allowed seniors to purchase internet connection at a discounted price, depending on their standard of living and so forth. So we took a look at those two programs and to see how we could enhance that. Next slide. The committee developed a thought for distribution of digital of the devices and expanding that program. Our recommendation to the Board of Supervisors was to add and expand on that program and out of the county budget to develop the purchase of additional computers. And with that, there would be an area for education, how to use it, what programs to use, and so forth like that. And we developed a survey, next slide. And in our studies, we found out that having the safe net of the computer's iPads, this would help decrease depression, delay the cognitive decline, promote physical health, safety factors, socialization, promote mental stimulation, and help with independence. And we had detailed information on all of those points that we had in our proposal to the county. Next slide. We also conducted, during COVID, a technology survey. And this was distributed as best as possible for the Meals on Wheels programs to those that are isolated. And questions included three demographic questions in regards to knowledge, access, and dependence on technology. And that was presented to the committee probably a year or so ago. I do have a copy of that. And if people are interested in that, we can get that, the results of that distributed along with this slide presentation. And it was what we have come to find out as Orange County, in Orange County, we're very fortunate in regards to this survey and other surveys that we've been able to find that's been conducted by AARP and so forth. Orange County exceeds the national standards in regards to those that have access to computers, also exceeds the capability of connecting to Wi-Fi. So we're very fortunate in that area. If you will find out in other areas of California, that may not be true. Isolated areas, isolated people. And so we've been very fortunate in that area. Next slide. The technology committee recommended to the board to the executive board increase our marketing availability of technology tools. And we developed a brochure that was distributed through most of the senior centers, promoting the access to the broadband program and the purchase or use of the iPad. Our recommendation was to increase the chat iPads from 300 to 5,000. That was our initial. And with that, to install what they call Get Set Up Training Link on all of the distributed iPads, and to offer this to all senior adults in Orange County. A proposal that ultimately went to the Board of Supervisors was the Need One Access Devices. We requested approval of the additional purchase of 2,200 iPads. Training requested 42 to 50,000 seats to get set up classes. And that was different types of programs that was available. A senior could sign up and would have access to that training. And connectability, create in Orange County emergency broadband coverage similar to the national broadband cut. And you'll find out, I think, in Jeanette's presentation, need number one and need number three continue to be a strong point within the digital divide, digital world. Next slide. Upon approval of the Board of Supervisors to approve our program and the funding for that, the committee was closed by the executive board and then assigned to the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee and coordinating with the California's Master Plan on Aging, major goal number three. So that this committee, was assigned to review and continue to watch goal number three of the Master Plan on Aging. The committee continued to receive reports from the Office on Aging, and I had the opportunity to look at the application process, the communications, distribution of that, and very impressed with what the Office on Aging was doing. There was a presentation made at the 4CA conference last year, because I think Orange County developed a great reputation in regards to this program and what they were doing, how they were coordinating it. And so we're quite honored that we got the state attention in regards to the program. Next slide. This is just the members, Tony, Meredith, Carolyn Inman, and Crystal Miles, myself, the five participants in the subcommittee. And
seems like 1,000 years ago now.
It does, and a lot of things have happened, yeah. Very fortunately, in a very positive direction. Next slide. Okay, so we've got the program. Program was established, and it's been going on now for about 18 months.
Since September 2021.
Okay, and so we've distributed all 2,500 iPads. They were all preloaded with programs, and everyone had access to the Get Set Up program. I'm not sure if the Get Set Up program is still available to all seniors.
It is.
Okay. So it might be helpful if we can send out the contact information and the code to where you can sign up for Get Set Up. You can review their programs, review what programs they have and classes, and there would be no cost to that.
There's no cost.
So it is a great program. So I asked Jeanette then to follow up with us in regards to distribution, what what challenges they faced and that. And I believe the program has been expanded with more iPads coming in. So the program continues, and it is continues to expand with the number of additional iPads.
I think at CPRA, they said it's 50,000 more iPads that are going out statewide.
That, I believe, I'm not quite sure on the number, but I know that they just re-released a new program that's combining with the other programs. So, and I'll let you guys know what our cut of the pie is. Yes,
for that was at that session. And
yeah.
50,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll turn it over to Danette. She can highlight the numbers, the distribution, the challenges, and so forth.
Yeah.
And I big thanks to her for putting this slide presentation together.
Beautiful. No worries. Thank you for taking that first time. So hello again, everyone. My name is Jeanette Rivilla, or Rivilla, you know.
Well, which one do you prefer?
Rivilla's preferred, okay. But, you know, it's fine. Just don't call me late for dinner. Sorry, gotta get my little jokes in there. But I'm one of the program managers for the Office on Aging. I kind of am, so everyone can see. Not like it's hard to miss me, but okay. But I'm kind of like a jack of all trades. I help out with contracts, budgets, and management support and everywhere else in between. And I was one of the few players at the time when we released the Bridging the Digital Divide program. So just to give a historical background, next slide, please. Okay, so there are technically three different iPad distribution programs. That's one of them is completely done, the other one, and the other two are kind of ongoing. So let's talk about the one that's already wrapped up, which is the Bridging the Digital Divide. This is the one that was born out of this committee, out of the work that this committee had recommended to the Board of Supervisors. So under the Bridging the Digital Divide program, we distributed 2,200 iPads equipped with a 12-month data plan and Wi-Fi capability. So even after the data plan had been, had already expired technically, all the iPads that we distributed are Wi-Fi capable. So as long as the clients who receive them have Wi-Fi access, then they can still connect to the internet. We also offered a one-on-one device onboarding for each participant. So each participant got an opportunity to actually set up an appointment with Get Set Up Incorporated to do a one-on-one device onboarding session. As you all know, thank you for reminding me to bring this. This is it's brand new, so I'm not gonna unbox it, you know. But as you all know, when you set up and you open an iPad, it's not as easy as, hey, let me turn it on and I'm ready to go. You know, what language do you want? Let's set up your Apple ID. Let's set up your exactly what time zone. Let's set up your face recognition, everything. So it can be daunting. It could take anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour and a half, really depending on skill set and comfortability. So Get Set Up actually offered that to each of the 2,200 recipients. Oh yeah, it's gonna be out. Yeah, well, stay tuned. So there are, you know, a lot of clients who avail of it, and there are a lot that, understandably so, because I think they also listen to what we tell them every single time they call them, don't just pick up from a number that you don't know. So a lot of them probably maybe either opted out or just didn't want to pick up the phone because they were afraid that it's some kind of spam. And of course, we also offered, like Dave mentioned, 42,000 virtual classes to all older adults. So fun fact about Get Set Up. Even after the program, the Bridging the Digital Divide program ended, they actually kept that link for the classes open. And if people wanted to keep taking it, they kept, you know, they just kept it open for Orange County because we have our own website. So that was amazing. That was really nice of them. So moving on, I'm going to kind of skip a step and go to chat and digital connections. So chat is, like Dave said, connections, health, aging, and technology program. So this actually was the one that kind of that led to a jumping off point to this committee recommending the Bridging the Digital Divide program to the Board of Supervisors. CHAT was released around August 2021 by CDA. They did give us about 329 iPads with cases under CHAT. And I think it came with a 2-year data plan. There was a little bit of a hiccup with CHAT because CDA released it, but unfortunately they didn't really quite come up with the solid guidelines and support for the CHAT program until maybe March of 2022. So long story short, we ended up going with the BDD program and just, you know, we'll figure out CHAT after once CDA, you know, figured out what they want to do with it and the support for the program. So BDD really took over CHAT. So I guess that's my long-winded way of saying that we still have some CHAT devices available. And I think the big hiccup for this, for CHAT, is it's done in partnership with USC's College of Gerontology. So there were pre-surveys and post-surveys required.
Yeah.
So, you know, so they can, you know, they can make us, you know, so essentially the goal is for USC to create a study, basically saying, oh, these are the impacts of the digital divide. And then post-survey will be after 6 months. So participants get their, receive and started using their iPads. And this is what the impact is after 6 months. So that's kind of, a lot of our clients that we were offering CHAT to initially were like, I don't know if I want to take the survey. I don't know I want to be on the hook for that. but kind of a good news, kind of bad news scenario. Good news is they were able to get their quota of surveys to make a robust study for it. But because they've got enough of it, they actually now they've updated it probably in the last 2 weeks, where the pre-surveys are no longer required. So we're gonna start seeing the release of the CHAT, the rest of the CHAT devices soon. I think under the survey, we were able to release about less than 100 only because not really a lot of people wanna avail of the surveys. So long story short, CHAT and the new program, the new iPad distribution program from CDA called Digital Connections got combined into one. So now it's going to be CHAT slash DC. so there are not going to be any pre-surveys required. The post-surveys may be offered to participants, but with an incentive. So I think there's two types of post-surveys. One is a short one, which I think they're if I'm not mistaken, CDA said they might give out. Or USC might give out like a $10 gift card for that or a $5 gift card for that. And for the longer survey, USC might give out about maybe a $10 gift card. So, like I mentioned, we received 329 iPads with cases under CHAT, and then we're going to get an additional 350 iPads more under DC with an option to sign up for more once they become available from CDA or California. I'm sorry.
These obviously can be anywhere in Rush County. It's not by district.
No, they're not. It's total. Yeah. And for everyone's, I realize we have new members here or new visitors. CDA is California Department for Aging or California Department of Aging. I have to catch myself from using acronyms, but yeah, that's what it is. So this one is DC hasn't quite been released yet because it's really, really a very new program. And we're still in the middle of the Access to Technology program. So this one is the current program that we have. So Access to Technology was launched in partnership with the Social Services Agency. So SSA and the Office on Aging went in together. SSA is the fiscal lead. We're the actual, you know, main program support for Access to Technology. And we applied for the grant, we got granted, we got approved for the grant. And based on that, we were able to purchase 1,250 iPads with data plans for a minimum of 24 months for the new iPads under ATT. So that's about not about 250 iPads each for each supervisorial district. Sorry.
Yeah. So how many have we distributed in total? 2,200 plus 1,250 plus 300 and some here. I mean, what's the total number?
So for sure,
all three of these.
I can definitely let you know that the 2,200 for sure had been, you know, distributed. Yeah. I think in the next slide it'll tell you kind of where each program is at.
Okay, yeah, that's
cool. Yeah. So for the 1,250 iPads, that one I wanted to give full disclosure. We're still waiting on a lot of direction, like some direction from each board office, because it's handled differently. So BDD, we had a little bit more. Okay, each board office will get 440 iPads, right? And that's that. But this one, I think the Board of Supervisors, each district office wanted, hey, let me give, for ATT iPads, let me give them first to senior centers and community partners. So that's kind of who we're reaching out first. I can tell you D1, District 1's iPads all went to community centers and senior centers. We're not getting a lot of, takers from the other districts. So we're in the second or third type of.
So should we be promoting that as SCEP?
Not just yet, only because we're still waiting on, it has to be approved by each board office. So there's a lot of, kind of starts and stops.
We're in the speed of government.
Yeah. Like imagine how I feel running the program. No. So a lot of it is, not to kind of pass the blame on anyone, but a lot of it is we have to coordinate with the board offices, basically.
Yeah, I'm all new, and it's a lot of data.
Yeah.
So real quick, so 220, the initial, you gave 440 to the board to determine where they should go.
We actually, the board actually gave us the direction to evenly split it between all districts. So each district had 440 iPads allocated to them.
Okay. So how did they decide where those went individually?
Oh, those are first come, first serve basis for participants, okay. Individual.
That's your sample.
Yeah.
One step at a time so I can get this.
No problem.
Is that the six districts we have now or the four that we have?
That was the board we had.
The five.
Before the election.
Before the election. Yeah.
Five members. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's good. Did give me a report where it, we have the distribution by districts. And each number, what district.
Exactly. And
code.
I'll show you all that after.
But unfortunately, that's under the old district.
Yeah, that's fine.
Exactly.
And okay. So for the first 220 were first come, first serve, evenly distributed across.
The first 440, yes.
Right. Yeah. And then you went to 1250, and now you're saying that haven't been done because the board is trying to determine how to do that?
Well, it's on its way right now. So one of them is fully done. The only one that's really fully settled is D1, only because they gave it all to senior centers. But we're trying to reach out to the other senior centers and community centers in other districts. And depending on who responds.
Was that 1250 divided by five?
Yes. Okay. So it's 250 each. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. So when you're trying to get direct from the respective board office as to what their allocation, where their allocation should go.
And exactly.
And then,
hold
on. I'm like 20 seconds into this. Okay. I'm going to try to make up for a year and a half. Okay.
Yeah.
So then you have these 329 and 350s.
Yes.
Okay. And right now, those haven't been activated, so to speak.
No. So out of the 329, that's the original one for a chat. I think we were able to distribute less than 100, but that was mainly because of that pre-survey
requirement.
Yes. So now we have the authority to,
And based on what, first come, first served?
Yes. It'll be first come, first served.
So, Jeanette, they've made a very important statement.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so all these numbers apply prior to the district reorganizations, right? The supervisorial reorganizations.
For sure, the 2200 and the 329.
So all the numbers.
Exactly.
You're not going to match them up.
No, no, it's not going to be the same.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind. Yes, I understand you want to know how they were distributed and, you know, all this good stuff, but you're in an entirely different environment now.
Yes.
Okay, so you're not going to be saying that my district get a disproportionate share or that I get shortchanged.
And the chats aren't my district.
No, the chats aren't my district, and neither are anywhere. And neither are DC.
So if we know an older adult that lives anywhere in Orange County that needs an iPad, we can refer them to Office on Aging to get it now.
Yes, technically, but let's, my recommendation, because we still have to basically decide as to, these had just been combined. And immediately after they combined, we had that C4A meeting and all that. So we haven't quite decided how to move forward with this in conjunction with this.
So you'll let us know.
Absolutely. Yes. When we're ready to roll, we'll let you know.
So my point is, let's let Jeanette get through.
Yeah.
Oh,
but I can't understand.
Then we will come back to
everything she's saying. Okay. I don't get this question though.
Okay. All I'm saying is, let's let her get through her presentation and then we'll provide an opportunity for questions.
Okay.
So, Jeanette, please continue or we'll.
Oh, sure. Sorry, I think she just has a very
quick question. Just one quick question. Okay, so the purchase of the 1250 net with the data plan for 24 months. My question is this, if we've had them stay 6 months, has the 24 months been deducted from that or does it start when we turn on?
That's a really good question. Unfortunately, there's really no way for us to control that. So it starts when it got delivered to us.
Okay, so that's a very important thing because it's not a 24 months anymore.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Are you saying that these iPads are going to be given to the senior centers for distribution before they were distributed by your office?
No. Actually, for the distribution for the senior centers, the goal of that is for the senior centers to have the device in case an older adult comes in and says, hey, I need access to the internet. I need to, almost like how the libraries are doing it with the computers. Yes.
So the senior centers are handing them out.
They are loaning them, but not necessarily handing them out to give out. They're just keeping them. They're basically taking over custodianship of it, so that they can use them whenever constituents come in and they want to use it in the senior center. We actually had advised them not to give it out, not to really give it out because that's their allocation, I guess. All right.
But your office was distributing the iPads to individuals.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. For BDD, those really, for the most part, went to individuals. Yeah.
I have to attest to that because I got a call to that. Okay, so it was passed out, and there was people within the community senior center talking to people to pass these out. Okay, so
I got
they
one
did a great job.
Oh, perfect! Okay? Thank you.
I got one too.
Perfect. Thank you. And what community were you from?
Leisure World.
Yeah. I remember that because I remember there was a big, an article or of advertisement on the circular. Yeah. Yeah, in the paper that promoted it. So thank you for that. So going back to access to technology, another thing that we use the funds for is we actually extended the data plans for the existing 2200 iPads under the Bridging the Digital Divide program by an additional 12 months. So those that expired December of 2022, I believe. Yeah, thank you. They got extended to another one. Yeah, I know. Where did the last 3 years go, guys? So right now, to date, we have distributed over 290 iPads to local senior and community centers. The same options are available for the BDD, with the BDD program, which is there's one-on-one device onboarding available, virtual classes are available, and this is a new one I'm really happy about because we are taking the lessons that we learned from BDD and applying it to access to technology. So there is now technical assistance available because we learned that the hard way. We had a very, very small but mighty team at the time, and we were having to do technical assistance. And we were not equipped for that because we're not not just with knowledge, but with manpower. Another thing that we're gonna do is we're actually gonna have our own phone line dedicated to these programs. Yeah, that's not from our information and assistance call center. So before I leave today, actually, I'm going to grab it and then come back later. But I have some business cards that actually have the number for and the information for the training center. So you guys can give it away. You know, it's easier because it's
the person for that.
I'm sorry?
Who is the staffer for that?
For the technical assistance? Oh, this is actually Get Set Up. Yeah, so it's not us. That's not us. All right. So, yeah, so I think I'm done with this. Sorry. All right, so now let's talk numbers. I'm going to switch over here so I can see better. All right. So right now, these are just the Bridging the Digital Divide, because as I mentioned, we haven't finalized the other two programs, which is CHAT/BC and AKT. This is just for the 2200. So as you can see, that District 1 took 514 iPads. District 2 took 451 iPads. District 3 had 446 iPads. District 4 had 455 iPads. And District 5 had 354. So you're probably wondering why it's not kind of equal or 40 each, right? So long story short, it was really a struggle to get District 5 filled up. And eventually, I believe Supervisor Bartlett allowed us to actually open it up and give it to other districts, because our wait list for District 1 alone was close to 800 people, because there were so many people who wanted an iPad under District 1. And District 5 were just like, come on, just get iPads, District 5. But unfortunately, not a lot of people availed of it in District 5. So with you know, through the kindness of Supervisor Bartlett, we were able to redistribute it and got everything out. Summary of virtual classes for Bridging the Digital Divide. We have unique users of 2,315. The total classes booked were 5,514. And the average classes per learner is about a little over 2 classes per learner. And the total number of onboarding calls made is 4,536. So according to us, there were 2,200 iPads that were given out, right? But that's not necessarily what Get Set Up has on their end when it comes to phone calls that they made, because some of those iPads got returned and reissued. So every single time something gets returned and reissued, they get a new client ID that they have to now call. So the effort was there. They made every single effort to reach out to the participants. Like I mentioned, a lot of them didn't want help, probably because they might have family members already helping them, or they might be afraid that it's, you know, even though we're very clear that, hey, it's not a scam, it's not an upsell, we're not selling you anything. This is something that's completely, it comes equipped with your iPad that you received today. Yes.
Jeanette, to the summary of virtual classes, is that captured also by district?
No. Unfortunately, yeah. I have the data for it that I can maybe extrapolate, but I didn't separate it by district, because a lot of it is by email address. And the challenge here for the classes is sometimes, you know, clients would use the email address that's associated with their iPad. Sometimes they'd use someone else's email address. Sometimes they'd use maybe a family member's or maybe their own. So it's a little bit harder to extrapolate that data per district. All right, and then these are the top 10 downloaded apps. And I apologize if the font was a little tiny. Obviously we preloaded, and the caveat here is I removed all the Apple apps, because the Apple, you know how Apple usually comes with its own GarageBand, Apple-like wallet or whatever. This one is just what either people downloaded or what we preloaded. For sure, we preloaded Get Set Up's link, training link, and Zoom to all the iPads. Now you're probably wondering, hey, why is it saying that Get Set Up only has 1,605 and Zoom has 1,602 if you distributed 2,200? A lot of that is because of our mobile device management reporting. And a lot of it too is, even though these are preloaded, it doesn't necessarily mean that the clients cannot remove them. So the clients can also choose to actively remove some of these apps. Yes, we can push them in the next push out, you know, because we have mobile device access to it. We can keep pushing it, but if they keep deleting it, personally, nothing.
Is there a way to see, like, if they downloaded their health plans app for telehealth, like Kaiser or?
I can definitely see that. You know, I can definitely. I don't have that handy with me, but I can. You know, I can definitely see. You know, like the list. Because actually, it was like top 50 that they gave me, but I just put.
That would be interesting to know, because that was part of our committee's thought, is that people were going to be able to have telehealth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And Jeanette, am I supposed to be, as the figure to compare to, am I supposed to be using 2,200 or 4,000?
Oh, it should just be 2,200, because this is just for bridging the digital. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, like, you know, it's, obviously, get set up Zoom, YouTube, I can attest to that. My mom uses a lot of YouTube, you know, Facebook as well, Facebook Messenger. Yeah. Of course, Chrome, Netflix, Google, Gmail, and Amazon. I'm actually surprised that Amazon's not higher. That would be high on my list. So anyway, I get bored and I shop a lot. So next slide, please. So the upcoming projects and review. So this is these are the ones that I got from your notes, Dave. If you don't mind, I'll just.
Sure, I can add a little bit to them too.
Yes. So, you know, the upcoming projects and review, you know, develop a questionnaire to measure the success of digital divide programs and to develop digital connections for Orange County by city or zip code. So, Dave, if you don't mind adding a little bit more.
Yeah. The timing on this, like I said, there was a change in staff and so forth. So we've been kind of lenient in regards to any follow-up on that. Wanted the program to be first established and let them learn their lessons. And second, and from what I understand from what Jeanette is saying, they've learned and they've improved on it. And so we're thankful for that. The other one is, a lot of my problem is, I think a lot of my thinking gets me into trouble. And so I've got all these plans. Now, the digital connection score, you know how you go into, let's see, Zoom or Zillow, you know, and you're trying to find out about a house.
Yeah.
And there's a thing on there called the walking score. And I'm thinking, well, should we develop something like that where there's a digital score in regards to incorporating factors of where you live? There's programs where you can go in and actually find out what your download speed is, what's available. And there's factors like with that. And like I've said, we're very fortunate in Orange County that we exceed the national averages on that. And that was something that I thought we could look at, but that would take funding. It would take a certain amount of expertise. There's a couple of organizations that I thought could help on that, but that would probably require funding from Orange County. And that has just sat there. But those are things where, you know, the staff, other people can take charge of that and work on that. Yes, Meredith.
The other thing that I've been hearing about is something called the Lighthouse Project. It's something that Leading Age California and my association has been working on with the Berkeley Affordable Housing organizations. And it takes the digital divide to the next step and helps people in affordable housing become peer mentors to each other with curriculum so that they can support each other with their housing. That's something that we may want to push out to once that is available for John.
So our point now is, as a subcommittee with just Meredith, Tony, and myself, is with the other subcommittee taking within their goals, establishing a follow-up to the digital divide. We're just kind of waiting for some guidelines from staff, where you don't want to be working with too many people. You've got too many programs in itself to work with without having additional committees to report to. So we're just kind of waiting for the guidelines on that, of who's to do what and when and where.
So in distribution of, what is it, 5,000 next time around? Is that the figure?
For the next time around, it'll be the 2,200. Let me crunch some numbers.
Well, just use 2,200.
Well, Jimmy. DC.
Yeah. So
whatever the next distribution is, what lessons have we learned, so to speak? I'm looking at, okay, you couldn't give them away after a while in District 5. I'm in District 5. Okay. We tried everything. Exactly. Except, you know, walking the streets and saying,
yeah,
hey, how would you like an iPad?
Exactly.
You know, that kind of thing. And yet, I attribute a lot of that to, that's a pretty socioeconomic enriched group of people.
Yeah, we want to meet the right people.
Okay,
so it's a little bit.
It was nice to start off with, well, you know, equity is wonderful. Everybody gets their share, but I'm not sure I would go to that technique.
Oh, absolutely.
In the future.
Well, yeah.
See, part of the thinking with the setting up the score.
Yeah.
And if you can do that by zip code, you can find out where the weaknesses are. So if you're tight on funds, you've got to put the money where the problem is. And with the digital divide score or digital multiple score, that would help. And highlighting the areas that need the most amount of
is that feed, or is that also, does that score take into account how many people need devices? I guess there's two different things, right?
Well, so there's
a device or not, and then
it depends on the matrix that you develop in developing the score. I've got, you know, there's, you get in the paper, you get this listing of property values, and it's by zip code. And so what factors do you use in developing the score? Do you use what the economic scale is in that area, in that zip code, the connectability, the isolation factor? There's any number of matrices that you could use in developing that score that I'm sure they use for the walking score.
Yeah.
And that's where it would take some expertise. To develop that. It's nothing.
AARP already, have you looked at the OATS Center? I think it's AARP has OATS. They've been working a lot on this too.
Well, there's an app I've got on my phone right now that I can just put in the zip code, and it gives me connectability. You know, if you live in the isolated areas of Orange County, you're not going to have access because you're not getting the signal.
Right. That's a big factor, and whether you have the device is the other factor.
So those are all different factors that would go into the score.
Yeah, that's where I was going with. So you've got knee, you've got what is systemically do you have in terms of internet connection?
Right.
Okay, and then I think the third piece is so you can have a device, you can have internet connectivity, but you also need to know if you have absolutely zero knowledge.
Yes.
You've got a big steep hill to climb as well.
Because that's what you're finding in District 5. You've got a wealthy population. You've got a well-educated population. You've got high access connection. And so 90% of District 5 has a higher score.
Except for the pockets of affordable housing.
Right.
But
right.
Also the unincorporated areas as
right.
well.
Yeah.
You know, but the unincorporated areas, that's in District 3 now.
How is this going to work also with the federal program that gives people the $30 every month? That's the other thing that we need to be taking advantage of.
That was the emergency access.
It's forever.
Right. And I think Pauline just sent out a notice.
Yeah.
To everybody, it's available. That if anyone wants to go on and sign up, and if they qualify, they can have, you know, a discounted rate.
I think there is
a
if you're on top freshman, you get it automatically now. And
I think that there is qualifying criteria.
Yeah. But I think those are all lessons that we have learned because of the digital divide.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For me, you know, the digital divide in regards to what my mother would say, you know, Dave, go to the sink, wash your mouth out with soap, saying nasty words and so forth. For me, the computer is probably the third, fourth on my list where I would have probably had. But I'm fortunate I grew up in the computer industry. Now, there's a lot that had not. Now, ask me what's number one, and I would say golf, and that exceeds all of the others combined. But
the frustration.
And Dave, I think there's a, yeah, I don't know if it's a part of the three components we've already listed or if there's a fourth, but your age, hear me out, since it's an ageist, your age, I think, to a great degree dictates what your computer.
Yeah. Oh, the cohorts of older kids.
Yeah. And you're going to see this divide improve as the other groups become older.
That's my point.
Yes. They're going to have a lot greater computer skills than we have.
Lack of poor choice terms, you'll age out.
I guess the good news is this only temporary for the next 10, 15 years.
Yes. So I don't know if that's a fourth component or if that's part of the other three, but I think you can just, if I use my organization as an example, we're all over the map in terms of computer
available literacy.
Literacy. Okay, mm-hmm. That's a good one. All over the map.
A new generation of older adults are going to be native to technology.
Yes.
Yes.
And the generation after us is going to be the same.
Better.
When you go into a kindergarten classroom and they're working on computers as opposed to a pen and paper.
Right.
That's the key.
So I think the other piece of that is the expectation of that group is way different than it is in Jim's group. Okay, way different. The expectation is you better be providing that rather than that's an option. Maybe I'm interested in that. Maybe
I don't think we're ever going back to 100% in-person programming. You're missing out on a lot of things if you don't do the virtual.
But the decision makers aren't in that group. Okay, the decision makers are in the elder group. Okay, so that's our challenge, I think, as well.
One of the speakers in the conference that we had, Older America's Month, that we had the Zoom meeting, one of the speakers said, you know, isolation is the key factor. Even with youth, during the pandemic, that was one of their biggest concerns, is isolation. And we all know that if we have computer, we go to our grandchildren, our children for that. So computer skills is not the main problem. It's a big factor, but isolation is probably the greatest underlying factor. That's what's
a lot of people still haven't come back to in-person, And they won't.
So
they're afraid.
Yeah, last
slide.
Continue on your presentation.
Sure. So this is the last slide that I have. So just a couple of challenges that that we identified. Obviously, we need to vet participants who opt for iPads to be directly shipped versus in-person pickup. Shipping is a lot more expensive because we honestly did not account for that in our budget for the first 2,200 iPads. So thankfully we had other funding available, but it was very rare though that we shipped it. We either dropped it off if it's truly homebound. We have the option to do that, but we don't, we don't have the manpower or a lot of fleet of vehicles to handle all these iPads. So right now we're really trying to home in on, please pick up your iPads if you want. We can meet you at a senior center or whatever for the new the other programs that are ongoing right now. Another one that we actually identified is assistance with certain language barriers for participants who want to attend virtual classes would get set up. So get set up, they have a lot of classes that are available in a lot of other languages, but unfortunately, Vietnamese is a struggle for them.
And Cambodian.
Yeah, so they're having a tough time, getting someone, you know, in their staff with Vietnamese fluency. So some of our staff will, you know, have helped out with that. But I think out of our staff in person, I think we have maybe one or two who are really, really fluent. And, you know, the others are, you know, not, you know, they can manage, but yeah. So those are the two biggest challenges that we've had, apart from, of course, staffing and manpower. So just to provide a bit of a background for Bridge. Individual divide, all the calls went to our information and assistant at the time, I think about four people. Yeah, four people at the time. We hired, I have a staff of one staff specialist, really amazing guy, Vin Tran, who basically was the day-to-day operations lead on it. And we have a staff of three temporary staff that would call back people to, you know, arrange for pickup, you know, or, you know, confirm the information that they provided in the application. And yeah, so it was between them and just really the core group for BDD, apart from the information assistance call center, it's just the three temp staff, Vin and myself. So five people, 2,200 iPads. I think it's in 7 months, is a really amazing
feat. Well
done. Yeah. So, and thank you for your support. Thank you for bringing this. You know, I can't thank you enough for bringing this to the board's attention, because this is a needed,
yeah,
much, much needed program. So sorry,
Jeanette, let me echo that. At the state level, the perception was Orange County smoked the rest of the state in terms of contribution on those iPads.
Orange County is the best.
You guys walked away from everybody else.
Yeah,
and I observed.
Yeah, and we did, you know, a lot of other counties have reached out to us. So and it's not perfect. You know, it's a lot, don't get me wrong, it's not perfect. There's
along the way.
Yeah, we have a lot that we learned along the way. And yeah, so.
Can you put an article to Generations or something?
Sure.
You have pictures of people with their iPads too?
I don't know if we did. I'm not sure. Because, yeah, but if you.
You have that photo release as well.
I know, exactly.
Correct. For AAA and for the executive board members. So where does this program then? Is this in one of the committees, or is this at the executive board level, or is this somewhere waiting to be assigned? Or
bridging the digital divide, or for the others?
The digital divide is the one that's basically...
It's pretty much done. We're just extending,
yeah.
Extending the...
off the data plan. Yeah, of the three programs, the one that came... was birthed at this committee was the Bridging the Digital Divide. And that has run its course and has been done, and all the iPads have been allocated. Yeah, the other two programs are automatically coming to the Office on Aging through state or federally funded programs. So they're coming to us, we're being made aware of them automatically.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, the DC one, the contract with the state hasn't been executed just yet. So it's not,
it's super attracting.
Exactly. Yes.
So is there a role for a subcommittee similar to Bridging the Digital Divide? And is that being accomplished by the other committee?
I think I can confidently say that it's not the focus of other committees at this point in time. My suggestion and recommendation would be to hold off on making any decisions until after the bylaws come through, because there are some significant changes coming in terms of the whole overall function of SCAC and standing committees underneath it. So until that discussion has taken place, I would hold off on making any kind of decisions. That would be my recommendation.
Okay.
All right. Does anyone have any questions for me? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, let me start from the beginning. I'm glad I heard the language barrier. And here's the question. How are we going to address it?
So we do have our language line available in the Office on Aging INA.
Okay.
You know, however, the other way that we are potentially addressing this is we actually are
asking, once we open the ATT up and of course DC and DC slash chat to individual participants or applicants, we would ask them as well under intake question, do you have a family member or a friend who might be able to help translate for you? Because unfortunately, that language line that we have, that is strictly really for information and assistance. And we have a limited budget on that. And we did dip into a lot of that when we did the BDD program. So,
well, here's a suggest. I don't know how budget and how you allocate time. I used to sell cars. I deal with Vietnamese, Japanese.
Oh, wow.
I use Google Translate. I would say this.
Oh, yeah.
It would come out, and then he would say his thing, and then we just go back and forth.
Exactly.
I had a gentleman from Japanese who spoke like five words of English.
Oh, wow.
And I sold him a car.
Oh.
You know, and he was very grateful, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a thought.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I myself have used that when I worked in the private sector.
Yeah, the translation technologies are out there.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're commoditized. They're not. It's a matter of getting the resource behind it.
Exactly.
You're capable of kind of having, you know, there might be some cultural competency and how you work with a person, but nonetheless, I think the technology is there. So I understand. So 350 of this under DC is a future attraction. Nothing, but I heard 329, then out of that 329 coming, there's 100 already out, or did I miss?
Yeah, there was less than 100 out of them, not missed. Oh, actually, yeah. Yeah, it was less than 100 out for the 329 chat iPads.
Right.
And how they go?
Mm-hmm. How they were distributed?
How were they distributed?
Yeah.
Oh, those were individual. Individually, each person.
But how the criteria?
The criteria for those, that's the one that required the pre and post survey. But CDA had just removed the requirement for surveys. So.
Okay, so when they did the survey, you got to do the survey. You got it, no matter where you came from.
Exactly.
Got it. And then on the 450 iPads, they're kind of nested in these districts.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying only District 1 in the old alignment, correct, has really decided how they want to do it.
Oh, I'm sorry. The 1250.
Yeah,
this one, actually, for the 1250, yeah. It's the 250, and this is for the new one. Again, the ATT one happened after the new district had been, you know, I guess, redistricted. Established. So those are for the new
1250 for the new alignment.
Yeah, for the new alignment. So 250 iPads under D1 had already been earmarked. Yeah.
Okay, you just said two things. You have 1250 for that are being distributed to five districts under the new political alignment.
Yes.
And you're saying only District 1 under the new current alignment has been decided what they want to do.
Exactly.
Okay, it's just a follow-up for me.
And District 2 actually were, for District 2 and two through 5, we've reached out to senior centers around the area. And we have, I think, distributed, well, whatever the, I think it's about over 290. So the 40 that's been distributed for the other districts, apart from District 1, because District 1 has 250, right? Because 1250 divided by 5 is 250 each. This is the 440.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, for the other program. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going directly to the seniors, or I thought the district board office would determine what probably wanted to do it.
And that's how they wanted to do it, is to offer it up first to the senior / community centers, and then after that they're going to decide whether they want to use their waiting list or if they want to just open it up to everyone.
Sure. Okay. Any other questions?
I don't have a question, but I have food for thought.
Sure.
Maybe you can get volunteers either from senior centers and or college that to communicate the different languages and maybe set something up like that.
Yeah.
That way you have somebody there and you don't have it doesn't come out of budget.
Exactly. And that's a really good, we need to tap into those colleges that might have a club,
a club and or maybe they can earn a credit or something.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
We had a presentation last year from the Logan and Miguel Senior Center before you joined, and they have a tech tutors program. And they said that they could talk to other cities on how to get it done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Logan and Miguel had, I thought it was an excellent program. At one point, the senior center had kids come in from high school, Hills High School.
Yeah.
That helped seniors with, how to use a computer, how to use Facebook, how to, way back when. And it was excellent because it bridged not only a digital divide, but it brought two generations together.
Yes, exactly.
So, and they're still learning from the tour other senior centers.
Yeah, so it was really good.
Yeah, we had one that started, remember Dr. Chang, Nancy? She started one in Irvine at the senior center where they merged high school, college kids with seniors, and it was very successful.
I think it's an excellent program because I think that's a lot of, we're losing that connection.
Oh, yes.
With technology advancing, with everything moving from a personal interaction social platform to a more digital platform, you're losing that personal one-on-one with the generations. So I think we need to foster that a little bit more.
I just wanted, on behalf of the committee, if there's any other comments from Meredith or Tony, just any last minute thoughts.
And thank you so much for participating, for listening to my presentation. Let me, I'll be right back. Let me grab the business cards that I was, so you can distribute it. We have a lot. I'll be right back.
Okay, Jeanette, thank you both.
Yes.
For today's presentation.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
It sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. Jeanette runs to get some cards. Let's move on with the agenda. Number seven is chair items. Integrated subcommittee report. Let's flip those and see if there's anything that Elizabeth wants to share with us about the elder abuse subcommittee, and then we'll move in back into item seven. Okay.
Yes, but I'm so glad to see item 7B1. I said several months ago that we were told that the Office on Aging has its own elder abuse thing. And so our committee is redundant. We're not needed. And so I shouldn't be up there, should not be this subcommittee report, because the Office on Aging is taking care of that.
Yeah, well, we can get Pauline to follow up on that for us. And before we do anything with regards to 7B1, we'll wait for Pauline's report in July.
Yeah.
And it may be moot because we may not be, aligned in a manner where it would be of us to be focusing on elder abuse.
Yeah, I mean, from the Office on Aging standpoint, since I've been there, I know we have resources available. For people who would call into us and, report elder abuse. There's a whole process that has to go through. I know we've had several discussions and presentations on elder abuse. We actually have more coming up, I think, on Wednesday at the well-being meeting. But in terms of, the Office on Aging taking care of that, it's part of everything else that we take care of.
Wouldn't it be Office on Aging liaison? The APS, because
anytime we get any complaints regarding elder abuse, that's the first, it's a whole process.
The complaints go through APS.
Correct.
Well, the Council on Aging also gets involved in the elder abuse program.
Yes, they do. With the office. That is correct.
I guess that my question is, if we want to report things that we're seeing as trends to APS and Council on Aging, maybe that's our role, but monitoring everything. We have so many other things going on.
Yeah, and there's so many things that come under elder abuse. I mean, you've got physical, mental, scams, everything. It really is. It casts a broad net, what defines as abuse. I believe Elaine Genoway is working on fentanyl, prescription abuse right now, with scams where people are, as she said, seniors are ordering their prescriptions online or from out of the country, from Canada or Mexico, and not through a licensed pharmacist.
Well, I read your information, though, that you shared on our other committee that Helena was interesting, because it's all opioids.
It is. It's methamphetamines and it's fentanyl.
So we need to hone in on what it actually is, too.
Yeah, and I I know Elaine's working very hard on that, because it's not something, your fentanyl, I think right now, people's minds go to youth and teens and overdoses and opioids, but not necessarily when it comes to seniors in terms of them ordering prescriptions online. And they're doing that because inflation is high. They have a choice to make whether they get a prescription or whether they pay their rent.
And they have addiction issues just like the rest of the groups.
Yeah, I read an article this morning, actually, just on that, that marijuana, medical marijuana, that people are getting is being laced with fentanyl when they don't know. You know, so it's an issue that I think is slowly but surely kind of.
And I'm wondering if people are, I think that older adults buy illegal drugs just like the rest of the children, and not even think that it's ordering.
We have people messing with drugs for keeping drugs in our apartment.
Seriously. Fentanyl is not because you have. This is just the truth. It's not because you can't afford your drugs and you ordered something from Canada.
No, I'm definitely not saying that. Fentanyl is something that is prescribed in a lot of cases for pain. It's like any other opioid.
Yeah.
But when if you're ordering like amoxicillin and you get the amoxicillin thinking it's pure amoxicillin and it's manufactured outside the country or it's manufactured in the country by some illegal online place, it could have fentanyl.
I think that most of the people that are having the fentanyl are drug seeking, not getting amoxicillin. That's just fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Respect that.
Yeah. Which doesn't mean that it's not an important issue. It's just that the general population.
I don't think it does any harm to create awareness.
Yeah.
You know, it's like any other scam that's out there because it's a scam. You know, it's creating awareness.
Yeah.
So, Jeanette, do you have your cards?
Yes, I do. I'm going to leave them right here in the front for
perfect.
Yeah. So just a couple of quick things. Thank you so much for letting me interrupt again. You know, the top one is really just for iPad setup. So, you know, that's really for recipients of the iPads under the programs that we're releasing. However, you have the free live training classes, the websites below, and for resources, we've got to do our old plug for the Office on Aging Information and Assistance Call Center. The website is below as well. So please distribute it to everyone. Thank you all so much.
Data plans go at least up to 24 months at this time.
Yes.
After 24 months, at this point, they're on their own?
They're just Wi-Fi access, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so they have to have internet connection or they can avail of that.
They can bridge over to the...
Right.
Yeah.
Unless there is another institution of cash, which
exactly.
Is not happen, but
At this point, the 24-month window.
So, that's when we're just saying a minimum of that, because there might still be money left over near the end and we can extend it, but we can't make any guarantees.
Well, no, we're not asking. I mean,
yeah, I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver.
So again, acknowledging that there are many different categories of youth. Okay. If we simply remain in the current environment where our role is senior citizen engagement. And if we're reporting to the Board of Supervisors through the Office on Aging, it appears to me that we should have at least some knowledge of what kind of abuse is going on. I don't know that we have to be the leader in that. But
We're the connectors.
Yeah, I think we need to be aware of that. And what is going on in the community and being in a position to report that. I think at our July meeting, we'll have a better idea from Pauline whether there is a role for us. We may know if the bylaws are approved by then. We may know if this committee should be involved with that issue or not.
Can we have a presentation from ABS?
You can. Well,
just a suggestion.
Sure. I will request one.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Because that leads us to ultimately one of our issues we still need to deal with before we get out of here is the last 6 months of the calendar for presentations are vacant. So The impression was that the bylaws would, the situation with the bylaws would be made aware to us by then. So we're going to continue to see if we can fill out our dance card here just a little bit. But
let's see if we can get Adult Protective Services to make a presentation in July. And it's on, you want it on the elder abuse, right? In terms of
what they're Orange County trends or something with elder abuse.
With my perception being that financial abuse is accelerating at exponential levels versus the physical abuse.
Yeah. I would like to hear about self-neglect because I think that's the biggest one.
What's that?
Self-neglect.
Self-neglect.
Those are people languishing in their homes and apartments that aren't availing themselves of the services.
Those are the ones staying on the inside.
Yeah.
I'll check with Adult Protective Services, and in terms of like financial abuse as well, I'll check with our ombudsman because they get a lot of the complaints that will go or come to us will go to our ombudsman.
Yep.
You know, so let me check into that as well.
And I have one last observation before we move to item 9. We need to talk about this as well. And that's just a directed word of Pauline. You know, having been involved with the senior community now for well over a decade, in a variety of ways, I can continue to be concerned how the senior population is clustered in one term. Whereas if you look at the population outside the senior category, it's okay, there's an age group, K-1 to 12, there's a teen population, there's this population from 25 to 40, this kind of thing. And yet, I would submit that the population that's commonly referred to as seniors is much more than just a senior population. It has specific needs based on age categories that are very similar to the population that's referred to prior to age 50. And it isn't just clustered 0 to 50. And, you know, you go from there. So, as we all know, we are in different positions, depending on whether what age we are, how physically mobile we are, how mentally capable, and if dementia is something that everybody deals with at the age of 80 and plus, that has some impact as well. So I would like for the Office on Aging and SCAC in the future to think about that. If you're
going to know the technical term,
what's that?
Gerontology, they talk about the young old
and the old,
the old, the old, old, and the oldest. So those are the categories.
And maybe those fit. I'm just reflecting on my own position, I think I'm a different person at 50 to 60 than I am 60 to 70. In fact, those two are, I probably feel pretty darn good between 50 and 70. Something magical, if you want to call it that, happens at age 70, okay? In my humble opinion. And it doesn't get prettier, okay, as we age. But I think it's something that we need to remember as we look at our programs because...
Even self-perception, I think, John, because a lot of people 50 to 60 don't perceive themselves as being part of the aging category, but they could avail themselves of all the knowledge.
Exactly.
And the
yeah, it's case in point during the transition for the baby boomers.
Yeah.
The senior centers were population was declining because the baby boomers did not identify with senior centers.
They think that that's for their parents.
And also their volunteerism
Maybe when they go in there and play bingo or whatever, they were more tech savvy. So the change came where it was no longer senior center. It became community center / senior center.
Right. That's, and I think you'll see when we thought about that as we were going through the bylaws as well. And, you know, the definition of senior citizens.
People perceive that as a previous generation of seniors.
Well, and I think also with seniors, it's changing. The whole perception is evolving now, or to an older adults versus a senior population. When years ago, if you think of seniors, it was your mom and dad and above, you know, as kids. And then the other thing too is preparing for older age. You know, we kind of look at, you know, in working with the area plan and now looking at it for 2024 to 28, you know, one of the untapped things is trying to get it across to people in their 20s and 30s that now is the time to start financially planning retirement. Not when you're 50, not when you're 60. Now is the time, because if you start planning now, then as you get older, which with any luck, the grace of God, you will, you know, and enjoy life. When you get to that point, that's why I think you're seeing a lot of homelessness. You're seeing people can't afford their rent. And it's not because, or they're working into their 80s, you know, and that's really.
That's the whole concept of we're all aging every day.
It's hard to think with things like that when you're in your 20s and 30s and you think you're invincible. You know, I have two kids, both in that age group right now, you know, and I'm going, but if it's $20, if it's $50, put it into a 401k out of your paycheck and just leave it there. Don't worry about it. Just leave it there. It will grow and it will grow. You know, you will. I mean, this is what happens when people get to 40 and 50 and go, oh, retirement?
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that I will leave the Office on Aging with and SCAC, I was dumbstruck by the homeless population and the number of seniors that are going to be joining that.
Yeah. Half of the homeless now are seniors.
Yep. Yeah. I was, that was a staggering statistic shared with us at the C4A convention. Yeah.
Well, they also have drug issues, mental health issues on top of that. It's just not homelessness. It's compounded by drugs.
I attend those, Victor, and I walk away to myself driving in my car home. I'm very lucky.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If you don't want to see something, just go up First Street right here.
Yeah.
And you'll see it right in front of your eyes. I see it every day.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's like what happens to these people? At least the older people, maybe younger people made that. Just these older people, just like, what's going to happen to them? What is going to happen? What are you going to do with them?
And a lot of it is, I've heard a conference from UCSF before too, and a lot of it is single adult male that is with their mother, and then the mother passes away, the social security is gone, and that's why they're newly homeless.
Yep. Amazing. Okay. Item 9, ledge tracking. This is where CSL is given an opportunity to share legislation impacting older adults, older Californians, senior citizens. Today, I don't have anything in writing to bring to you. I will share with you that we've gotten what I think is some pretty good news. In spite of a budget deficit, the senior programs, which historically take a hit, for the most part, everybody shares the pain, but they have avoided that. That is the great news. If you were on, had a chance to listen to the call on Friday with Director Galley,
$50 million for Department of Aging too for behavioral health.
And everybody high-fiving each other, dancing around. You know, you're sitting there going, okay, well. And it's a party right now. So what has transpired in the last 15 days is that many bills have been placed in suspense because the financial picture wasn't clear and they didn't know what was going to be afforded. So we track about 50 bills. Over 80% of those are in suspense.
Our bills are suspense.
Yeah. Every one of CSL's bills are in suspense. Okay, so we're sitting here now watching to see what happens on the, I think it's the 16th and the 18th, something like that. The Senate and Assembly Appropriations Committees meet again, and we will see whether the trend continues or whether there's plans to revisit. So we don't know.
Isn't it the deficit projection go up too? It was from
it did. It went from 25 billion to 35 billion to 10 billion.
32. Yeah. 32. But it went up. Bottom line, it's high.
And it's higher than expected.
Exactly.
Much higher than expected.
Yeah.
And if I could comment on that too, as a reminder, when the Fed staggered or delayed the tax return filing for individuals, your reporting mechanism went out the window.
Right.
And that's until October now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So you only can go on what is physically filed.
Right.
And yes, you can make projections, but nobody's going to fund based on a projection at this point. So the real data starts to blow in by October 15th. So we'll see what happens there. So nothing more to report. Tony has a hard copy of what we have as our legislative report that is linked to something called Ledge Info. So right now, I just wanted to give you a verbal report. There's a document we produce called the CSL Advocate, which is a newsletter that I finished over the weekend, but I'm sitting on because I want to see what the suspense file looks like after the two committees meet this week. And then we'll go from there. And then we'll distribute that to the world. Item 10, new membership. I've identified our two.
Marianne and Victor.
Okay.
Right.
Yes, I think so. I think.
Or they may leave here and go, we're not going back.
Yes.
I think Colette is just visiting at this point. Or,
no, I've been to several meetings already.
Great. So, Paul, what's our next step with Marianne and with Victor? Do we?
It's entirely up to them. It's entirely.
They'll let you know.
Yeah, if Marianne wants to stay on this committee, okay.
Yeah, I think it's a natural fit for me. The other two, I think, are fine committees. I kind of more to what I like.
Perfect.
But kind of juice my passions a little bit.
Okay.
We'll be voting then in July?
Yeah, well, let me look at bylaws. I want to make sure we go by the process.
Okay.
Once we do that. Yep, should be good.
Okay. Before we get to announcements and roundtable discussion, we have added, these are on the countertop back there. If you don't have it, it's the schedule of presentations. Correct, Colette, they're up there?
Oh, I didn't see one either.
Okay, my apologies.
No problem.
So what we're trying to do is fill in for July, August, September, October, and November presentations. There you go, Tony. And we have one for ABS on July.
We may. I'm going to check with them on their availability. But okay. Yes, put it down as 10 as.
Does anyone else have a suggested topic for us to consider for August?
I like the comments about gerontology. You know, older. If we could have a gerontologist here that talks about that and talks about the different, because my definition of age.
You're looking at one,
right? Yeah, I'm a gerontologist.
Yeah, my definition of age is someone that's 20 years older than I.
Yeah. I think anyone from the USC School of Gerontology can be legitimately called a gerontologist.
Remember?
Yeah, I think it's up to
you. I can pop on that if you'd like.
Right. Yeah, so, right. The definition of age or something like
that? I would call it the different cohorts.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got to get out of this brand of aging and something different.
I think if we cover July and August, seniors, summits, we used to have. Morrissey was a great speaker. Who was that, Tony?
Dr. Mosqueda.
Oh, yes. She, remember when we used to. Well, started with Pat Bass and then went, went on with.
She went on.
Roger Bartlett.
Well, she was at US, UCI, and SC took her.
The other thing I could talk about with that is Stanford has published their longevity guide.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting because it talks about the new way of aging now that people are older adults for such a long time. Their lifespan.
Don't work. That's the new way of aging.
Yes.
Don't work.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes.
So gerontology, older adult cohorts, and new way of aging.
And then I think if we get those two, I think we'll have a decision.
That's enough for now.
How does that thing, the bylaws,
they
go in with the
county
council?
It's still with them. They're still reviewing. We gave them a deadline of May 5th. And we're still.
I dealt with them when the chair Skag was in years ago, and there was a three year. They send something and says, well, can you change this one? And so we change it and send it back.
Yeah.
And it'd be another 3 months before they get back to you. Well, no, it doesn't look right. Maybe change it back to what it was.
That's going to be, that's the process. That's why we gave it to them first, so they can kind of do a deep dive on it and get all their issues out of the way in terms of what they're seeing. And then when we bring it to the full council, at that point, we'll know it has been vetted first, and then whatever changes the council has. And it shouldn't take that long because they've already gone through it once.
Yeah, trust the process.
We're at item 11. Going around the room, does anyone have an announcement or something that they want to discuss?
I'm going Thursday. I'm maybe going to Washington, D.C. I'm trying to get a. Washington, D.C. I'm going and get a
new. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
See if I can get a tour.
Yeah, there you go. That's great. Let us know how that goes.
Yeah. Jim?
Yeah, I'll have to go to Philadelphia about. Weeks from now, and I've got a special program. While I'm there, I'll probably be away for about 3 weeks visiting people from the East Coast that I haven't seen since I moved here.
Enjoy it.
Tony, anything on your part? Dave? This one? Yes? Sure.
The other thing that we haven't thought about, just for next time, maybe, is nursing home finance reform is helping the state, and we have not enough nursing home beds for rehab in Orange County right now. So that's something else that we might want to think about.
Yeah. Are you suggesting we put it on an agenda?
Perhaps.
For this committee.
Perhaps. I don't know what the rest of the group thinks.
Anyone want to hear more about that?
Anyone speak?
I want to hear more about that. Nice. I think it's important. You know, what happens to the people?
I heard you say something.
They got stuck in the hospital. The hospital.
Investigate it. We are trying to get some information. Senior homes and whatever people would start one of those homes and really take funds from the state and whatever. And after about 6-7 months, they just close, you know, because of violations or whatever. And mom just opened up under a different name. And that was a big thing back when it was 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. RFP.
We could have Pat Lofton speak on that if we're going to be speaking.
Victor, I left you as last. Go ahead.
Yeah, really a question. So does this is OAA contract with STAIR for a job for older adults type program?
We do have a workforce development board. I think we do.
We had the gentleman come into our current building and it really hit him off well. In fact, people were asking about, hey, Victor, is anywhere housing assistance? Said, well, I don't think there is, but maybe get a part-time job. And this guy was just there. He can offer up 48 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
That would be a good education for the day. Just hear what the program's about, how long it lasts, what it's involved. It seems like it's a really, easy fit for a senior who just might need that money to get by.
And it doesn't change your benefits. You don't have to count.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's a bigger thing. It's still taxable, but I'd like to hear a presentation how you guys are doing it. And that'd be a good thing to get out the word. And whether I know Santa Ana has kind of their own deal going, but no matter, it seems like a very good program, no matter what.
Yeah. Let me check and see if we can.
Yeah, down the road.
If we can get Adult Protective Services, so I'll check and see if we can get workforce development.
I think that'd be really helpful.
Yeah.
But again, since we're talking about people that are going homeless and stuff, maybe this might be a way to mitigate
that. And before you leave, I know Jeanette brought a bunch of those cards, so please take them and give them out to people at senior centers, whoever you engage with.
Is there a digital copy of this that I could post online?
Let me check. I'm sure there probably is.
Because all of the moms, groups, are always looking for help with their older adult relatives.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. See, no other input. Thank you. This has been a
very nice meeting. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.